Before we get started, I want to read a scripture and then I'm going to pray again for the message. Is that okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And bless you, sir. You okay? Swallowed your spit. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Next verse. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? We'll stop right here. Lord, we thank you for this message, God. I thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us and through us, in us, Lord. Our hearts are open, God, that you would give us full disclosure, God. We want all the revelation, all the word, all the spirit tonight. We want it all, God. We don't want to walk out of this room lacking anything. We don't want to tune out from our phones or our tablets or our TV without receiving the fullness of what you have for us tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the stool. I'm actually going to use it for an illustration in a bit. So verse 25 said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I love Jesus's, this comes from probably one of the greatest portions of scripture ever. In Matthew, if you just read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, they are amazing. Jesus is amazing. Everyone say, Jesus is amazing. You know, I think we don't say that enough. I'm not saying say it again, but we don't just talk to Jesus and tell him how amazing he is. Sometimes we just lack that affection towards him, I believe. And it's a good way to check our heart, too. Also, giving Jesus affection, it prepares our heart for any correction, because God prunes those he loves. Can someone say amen? And I love this scripture, and I feel like it's a scripture that a lot of people know. It's a scripture a lot of people know. Like, I know what the Bible says, but there's a difference between knowing what the Bible says and believing what the Bible says. And I know that sometimes we just have we have trouble putting our trust in God because we don't want to be disappointed. Or we don't want to put our trust in God because we don't want to be let down. Or we don't want to put trust in God because really, and we'll see it later, it's because we just don't have faith. We're not putting our trust in God. And it's not enough, church. It is not enough to say amen to that. It is not enough to say, wow, that's good. It's not enough to say, yeah, I read the Bible every day. We need to believe the Bible. Everyone say believe. There's a reason why David had to hide the word in his heart so that he would not sin. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying so many Christians, we know the Bible. We know the Bible. We know what it says. We know what it looks like. And we want to believe it. And see, this is a stool. So spiritual. This is a stool. If I had to stand on this stage for 10 hours, would this stool be a benefit? Would this stool give me rest? Yes, this is not complicated. We know there's a stool. We see there's a stool. The stool is a representation of the Word of God. And we see it, and we've seen other people sit in it. You know, George can sit in it, Candace can sit in it, Miranda can sit in it, but as far as the Word of God goes, sometimes I just have trouble putting my weight on it. Because see, right now, my legs is what gives me strength, but when my legs run out of strength, will I choose to trust God and put my weight on something? Because listen, I'm trusting that this stool is going to hold me up. I'm putting my complete weight on this stool. I'm trusting that when I sit on this, I'm not going to fall on my butt. Come on. I'm trusting that when I sit on this stool, I'm not going to fall on my butt. And this is a representation of the Word of God. We know it, and we'll even get close to it, but we're still straddling it. And this is pretty uncomfortable, right? I probably won't be able to hold this position for very long without giving up or without, you know, falling to the floor. And the Word of God is calling us to place our complete trust in His Word. And we miss so much when we don't put our complete trust in the Word of God. Is this making sense? You put weight on what you trust in. It's not enough to say hallelujah, amen to that. No, you got to put some weight on what you're reading. The Word of God has no power unless you put some weight on it. Traditions of men make the Word of God to no effect. It's not until we put weight on what He has said. And I'm saying this is because as we read the Scripture, it's so easy for us to just read it and say, yeah, I know what it says, but I don't know if I believe it for me. Yes, I know God. I know this is Jesus talking, saying that God's going to take care of me, but in my experience, that's not the case. You know, brother, don't you know? You know, God only helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. That's not. If I was able to help myself, I wouldn't need God's help. If I was able to fix myself, I wouldn't be able to. It's not until we come to the end of ourselves where your only option is God's help that God will step in. Let me take it a little bit further on this side point. The Holy Spirit's known as the helper. And the Holy Spirit isn't something. It's not help. It's a person. And you have relationship with this person, and through that relationship, you're helped. Because it's God who transforms. I cannot transform myself. It is the Spirit of God that renews me and redeems me. Amen? So back to verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I love how Jesus just doesn't say God here. Look how God feeds him. No, he says, your heavenly Father. I love how Jesus always points to relationship. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Worrying is a direct result of a lack of faith. And all faith is a trust in God. A complete trust in God. How many of us today would say, man, I think I worry a little bit too much. Yeah. Or I think sometimes I just let fear overcome me. Yeah. Or sometimes I want to believe God, but sometimes there's just some doubt. Yeah. I want to show you today, you can bet your bottom dollar and place your weight on the Word of God and truly believe and truly trust. To completely trust in God is to completely relinquish control. That's what it is. Yeah. To completely give up control. We'll see that in a moment. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. So it's the Gentiles, those who don't know God, those who aren't in the family of God, who seek after materialism. They seek after the stuff. They seek after the stuff that they think will satisfy. They seek after the money or the wealth. They're seeking something in the world that's trying to satisfy them. And Jesus makes a correlation. It's the Gentiles that seek after these things. And because the Gentiles seek after these material things, it causes them to worry. Because it's like, what am I going to wear tomorrow? What am I going to eat tomorrow? It causes those who don't know God will worry about tomorrow. Yeah. The more I read the scripture, the more I feel like Jesus is saying, like, guys, just duh. God feeds the birds, clothes the grass. You don't think you're more valuable than they are? I think so. Yes. And we I don't think this is a word, but we overread this. Like we overthink it. And we try to make it say something that it's not. No, it's literally saying don't worry because God's going to take care of you. It's the Gentiles, those who seek those things are Gentiles, and they are the ones who worry. Check this out. I don't have the verses here. I just have the whole thing, so just follow along with me, Jorgito. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things, the Gentiles seek. Everyone say seek. For your heavenly Father, there you go. Oh, he is my heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Another duh moment. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're gonna see some sides here. Everyone say sides. The side of the Gentile who seeks after these things and causes worry. And then it's Jesus saying, hey, your Father is amazing. Your Father it wants to take care of you. So when it pertains to all of these things, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So in other words, saying the Gentile seeks and worries. He seeks the things. He seeks the promotion. He seeks the relationship. He seeks all of these things. He seeks the wealth. He seeks the confidence. He seeks the independence. Whatever he seeks. The Gentile, the one who doesn't know God, seeks after these things, these worldly things. But it is the Christian, the one who knows Christ, the one that knows his heavenly Father, that seeks first the kingdom, and then all these things get added onto them. I'm talking about money, I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about jobs, I'm talking about your calling, I'm talking about everything. All these things. What things? All of them. This is how big God is. Seek first the kingdom. I wrote this down. Gentiles seek answers, disciples seek the Father. Gentiles seek answers, disciples seek the Father. The Gentile says, how are we going to clothe ourselves? How am I going to be successful? How am I going to make it to college so I can have a career? How am I going to make this girl fall in love with me? How am I going to make this man fall in love with me? How am I going to manipulate my parents so that they can give me money? Or how am I going to get my next hit? Or how am I going to get this girl into bed? They figure out these things for themselves. They seek the answers because the Gentiles think the answers will give them the confidence and the security. If I just knew I was going to win the lottery, woof, I'd be set for life. I wouldn't need anything. What a lie. What a lie. That's all stuff does. It gives us a false sense of security. I have this car, therefore I made it. I have this job, therefore I made it. I make this much money, and therefore I made it. I married this girl, therefore I made it. I have kids, I have grandkids, therefore I made it. And it's a false sense of security because you think you're in control. Gentiles seek answers, disciples seek the Father. Amen. The answers come when we seek the Father. You know what's amazing? Oh, gosh. Actually, we'll get to that. But we need to be people. This, I literally just read like, I don't know, 8 verses. These 8 verses can completely change your life if you just believed it. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. But I believe these verses. I was an intern with a car, with gas and car insurance I had to pay for, and no job. I was volunteering full time, and God came through every single time. So you can't tell me my God won't provide. Amen. You can't tell me my God doesn't take care of me. Hallelujah. You can't convince me of what's in my heart. Whoa. It's in my heart. He's proven. I know this for myself. My weight's completely on it. My experience won't dictate it. Amen. My friends can't change it.
Yes.
I know who my God is. Comes down to when the Gentiles or when those who don't know God or some of us, it's so exhausting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Trying to figure it out on your own. Yep. You ever just lay in bed for 2 hours trying to figure something out? Yep. And then you have like this like huge revelation. I should pray about this. In other words, I should seek the kingdom first. Check this out. Psalm chapter 56, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to give you another visual. When we believe the word of God, we have to put our weight on it. It means we have to be completely, like 100% committed. You ever see those fail videos where like they're like on the diving board, right? And they're going to go, and they want to go. And like the people who are like half sure about it, they usually end up like eating it pretty bad. Like they go, and like they jump, and then they just land on the, and then it's like, it's a funny video. Because they're not 100% committed to, like, the jump. They are hesitant. No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. I'm just throwing that in there. Jesus said that, by the way. I'm full of it. The word. I'm full of the word. So Psalm 56, verse 1 through 4, just listen. Oh God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. That sucks. For I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. Man, if that's you today, I am sorry, and we'll pray for you. If all day long people are just talking smack about you. Everyone say, but. Oh man, every time I read this, I think God is a God of but. He really is. Like, but God is like a great phrase in the Bible because but God overturns anything that was just said. So even though this person's being slandered, people are talking smack about him, people hate him, but when I'm afraid, fear will come. It's normal. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. It's the word of God, right? This is God right here. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, right? In you is God. Next verse. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? When I read this, I literally thought of a progression. Because right here, he's telling himself, I have no reason to be afraid anymore. Why? Because my trust is in God. When I was afraid, I put my trust in God. Now that my trust is in God, why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? If fear comes, go to the word of God. Don't call up your friend and say, hey, sister, I'm going through some fear right now. Can you pray for me? No, start declaring the word of God. Perfect love casts out fear, and I know, God, that you love me. And so right now, fear in the name of Jesus be cast out because I open my heart to the love of God. Amen. And if you do ask someone to pray for you, they better be praying that. They better be praying the word of God over you. Amen? Amen. So back to worry, back to fear, back to being afraid. Man, I'm working out up here. We need to put our weight on it. The more we read this, this is the beautiful thing about the Word of God, is that it's alive. The more I read this, the more I see Jesus just pleading with man, saying, look, look. He was probably pointing at things that were there. They had grass back then. They had birds back then. Someone say, duh. But he's painting a picture. He's saying, look, like you can see it for yourself. The Word of God, you can bank on it. You can put your weight on it. Amen. Amen. Go back to verse 25. This is my favorite part, by the way. God is not only the God of but. God is the God of therefore. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Everything we just read right now is a therefore. It means that there is a truth and then there's a result. So God gives a truth, Jesus gives a truth, and then it's like a how do you say it? Not a Venn diagram. Hierarchy. Kind of like a hierarchy. Jesus gives a truth, and then the therefores support that truth. They complement the truth. They make the truth more alive. They add more weight to the truth. And so Jesus is talking about worrying. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What did Jesus say? What revelation did Jesus give that caused him to say, this is what I'm saying. Therefore, you don't have to worry about your life. Wouldn't we like to know what Jesus said that caused him to say, therefore, you don't have to worry about your life? Is it Jesus saying, I'm going to answer every single prayer as a yes? Every time you ask for money, I'm going to say yes. Therefore, don't worry about your life. We know that's not what it is. Georgie, give us verse 24. Here's before the therefore. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another word for mammon is like the world system. Another word for mammon is wealth or riches. Stay on verse. Yeah, thank you. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Next verse. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What? I read this. I was reading this just casually, to be honest. Not casually, because I'm not casual about the Word of God. But I was reading it because I was just reading it, because I read my Bible every day. I'm reading it, and I saw the therefore, and I was like, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. And I was like, wait, there's a therefore there. There's a therefore. So I went back to verse 24, and then I saw no one can serve two masters, and I was like, okay, I got to figure out what Jesus is saying right here. Because these aren't two separate thoughts. Everyone say they're connected. Are you guys enjoying this so far? This is just my journey in reading the Word of God, literally. I gave Georgie 3 scriptures today. That's like the least I've ever given him. But that's because I literally spent all day just reading the scripture over and over again. And my mind is being blown because this is my life right here. My life is hidden in Christ. My life isn't hidden in Christ so that I can... Oh my gosh. My life is hidden in Christ so I can seek the kingdom. Remember Jesus said, "Those, if you seek to save your life or if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. And if you lose your life, you will find it. You lose your life in God and you find everything you need. But when you try to hold on to it, you lose it." And this scripture right here actually gives us more light into that. You guys ready for this? Yeah. Da, na, na, da, da. What was I going to say? I'm trying to figure out where to go. I'm not confused. I'm just listening. All right. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Jesus here is actually giving two sides. We can have, you know, we're Christians. We know God. We know there's God and the devil, right? Obviously, God is, you know, kingdom of heaven. God is king. God is our father. Everyone say amen. And then on this side, we'll have sides, all right? My right side is God, because right. And then left hand is going to be the devil, Satan, who is the prince of darkness. He's the prince of this world, right? So we have God the Father, who's king, and then we have the devil, right? And so here's what Jesus is saying, because we see it. I don't know if dichotomy is the right word, but he goes from here to here, here to here. And in the last section, he actually says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, you guys see it? You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and the world system. So before that, he's saying, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. So here's what Jesus is saying. As you love God, you're going to hate the world naturally. It is a byproduct. You can't love God and love the things of the world. You just can't. Or else, Jesus said, either you're gonna love God or you're either gonna love God and hate the world, or you're gonna hold on to the world. Because that's what, when it says he will be loyal, it's similar to the word cleave. The same word that's used in the Old Testament, where a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave, be joined to his wife. It's a similar word here, because it's a different language, but it's a similar word where it says, or else he will cleave, he will be joined, he will hold on. Everyone say hold on. He will hold on to the one and despise the other. And here the word despise means to devalue, to treat as common, to not even regard. So here's what Jesus is saying. You're either going to love God. By the way, I won't get there yet. You're either going to love God, and as a result of that love, of that relationship, you're just going to hate the things of the world naturally. See, some of us are trying to hate the world and trying to hate sin without a relationship with God, and all that does is create religion, and it creates self-righteousness. It really does, and it actually causes you to be in even more bondage. But as you love God, you will naturally start to hate pornography. As you love God, you're naturally going to start to become more patient. As you love God, you're just naturally going to be more loving to people, and naturally you're going to pray for your enemies. Naturally, you're going to overcome any temptation because you love God. Or else, you're going to hold on to the world, you're going to hold on to the riches, you're going to hold on to your money, you're going to hold on to your job, you're going to hold on to whatever gives you the value, whatever gives you the comfort, whatever is giving you the security, whatever you're holding on to is going to cause you to not have security and not have trust in God, and you are now despising God, which means that you're devaluing him. It means, I have this much money in the bank, I don't need God. I have this relationship, I finally got the girl, I don't need God anymore. I finally got that promotion. I don't need God anymore. Yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus gives that truth, tells us not to worry, and then says, seek first the kingdom. Everyone say sandwich. Seek first the kingdom is this. You can't seek God and seek the things of the world. You can't seek security in finances, security in relationships, security in your job, and have security and trust in God. I'm not saying you pray once and God gives you a job. I'm saying seek God and the job will come. Amen. Sometimes when I'm out with Candace, she likes to hide from me. I'll go to the restroom, I'll come out, and she's gone. Yeah. All I have to do is look for her pearly white teeth. She's not hiding because she doesn't want me to find her. She's hiding because she's silly and she wants me to find her. Think of Easters. Everyone say Easters. Easter. Parents hide things. Right? We have an Easter egg hunt. Yeah. We don't hide them because we want the kids to not find them. You know, there's not an Easter egg hunt committee meeting the night before Easter, the EEHC. If you diet, we hide it. There's no committee like the night before saying, oh, these kids. They don't have this accent, but they don't exist. Oh, these kids. Every year, they find our eggs. Every single year, we have to hide them better. Every year, we lose, and the kids win. They're not saying that. Sorry, I'm dumb. Parents are hiding the eggs and hiding the candy because they want the kids to find them. Right? Sometimes God just loves to have a big Easter egg hunt in his presence, and you just, oh, I found peace in his presence. Oh, I found joy in his presence. Oh, I found comfort in his presence. Oh, look, God blessed me with a job. Man, I should just stay in his presence. All the blessings are here anyway. Amen. Amen. I think I redeemed my joke right there. Yeah. Amen. Back to the Bible. Just stick to the Bible. Let's just stick to the Bible. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to you, to the one, and despise the other. By the way, we've been like in the same chapter, in the same verses, like the entire time. It's amazing how much you can get out of the Bible if you just read it, and then read it again, and then read it again. No one can serve two masters. You know what? Someone take a wild guess what the Greek word for masters is. Say it. Kurios. Kurios. He's saying no one can serve two lords. Lord means decision maker. Lord means owner. And Jesus is giving another dumb moment. He's saying you can't have two rulers of your life. You can't have two people guiding you at the same time. Not only that, you literally can't have two people who are the complete opposite guide you. You can't. You can't have two lords. You can't have two directors of your life. Amen. So what is Jesus saying to us today? We worry because we don't put, we worry. Here, I'm just simply put. We worry because Jesus isn't our Lord. We worry because we're holding on to things that we really don't have control of. You have money in the bank, but you cannot force the bank not to, you know, go bankrupt. You're holding on to relationships, but you can't force them to love you. You have a stable job, you have a good job, but you cannot control the economy. I believe every single one of us are looking for security and love. That sounds nice. I just want to be loved and I just want to feel secure. And that's exactly what God offers to us. Jesus is saying, if you would give me your life and let me take hold of your life, everything you need, you'll find it in me. And you won't have to worry. You won't have to question God. You won't question whether he'll be your provider or not, because you'll know he's a provider. I'm going to read a few scriptures, if that's okay. Psalm 37, we'll start with verse 1. In light of everything I said today about not worrying and serving God, read this with that perspective. Verse 1, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Oh, that would preach by itself. Man, that person gets to party and have fun. See it on their Snapchat. I got to go to sleep early because I got to go to church in the morning. Verse 2, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. So when you get tempted to be envious, that person's partying, just think of this. Oh, man, they're going to wither. Yeah. Amen. That alcohol is going to dry out their skin. And the liver. Verse 3, here's the happy part. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that'll preach too. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Sorry, is this NIV? Oh, okay. Just listen to me, because we're differing on version right now. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. And then there's a semicolon. Sorry, there's a colon. It's a list. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Ooh, someone say amen. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. If I translate this to today, in times of COVID, they will not wither. In the days of a pandemic, they will enjoy plenty. This is a result of those who trust in the Lord, who trust in his word and make him their Lord. Amen. Angel, if you can join us. I'm going to close in a few moments. I just want to give you one little nugget. Everyone say one little nugget. So this was Matthew chapter 6. You guys really read this over and over again and just let the word of God sink into your heart so that really, like, you really believe this for yourself and you don't worry. Because you know God is your Father, a loving Father who will take care of you. Amen? That trust is built through intimacy. You know, you don't meet someone on day one and say, I want to marry you. You don't. You have to build trust. You have to build that relationship. You have to see, man, they're good for it. They're trustworthy. I could put my weight on this relationship. I can put my trust in it. You know, that's why we need a daily bread. We got to get fed this stuff every single day. And that's how our faith grows, right? Faith comes through hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Here's what that means. It means that we will listen correctly and understand correctly when we read the word of God. We'll know what's from God and what's not from God when we read the Bible. We will have not a worldly filter, but a godly filter. We filter everything through the word of God, and his word becomes alive because we know what's him and what's not him. That's how, if you have these voices that are saying you're ugly, or these voices that are saying you're not worthy, or these voices that are saying, you know, you're never going to make it, you're not going to be successful, you're always going to be an idiot, you're never going to amount to anything, you're always going to mess up, you're always going to fall into that same sin, those voices need to go through a godly filter, and they will be cast down to the obedience of Christ. Amen. But we need that word of God in our heart, or else there's no filter. We need the word of God, or else there's no filter. We need that godly perspective, or else there's no filter. Something happens in our family. Something happens in our relationship. All of a sudden, we're broken down. It's not because God's not there. It's because we don't know what God has already said about it. We lack confidence because we lack knowing the word. And it turns into praying from a place of fear rather than praying from a place of truth. And our prayers go amiss. We don't even know what we're praying for because we don't know what the truth is. But when you pray for the peace that God promises, when you pray for the joy that God promises, when you pray for God being your provider like He promises, that's where the power is. So Matthew chapter 6. Man, I can go all day, I think, just on Matthew chapter 6. So Jesus in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Keep in mind, I say this every single week, but Jesus doesn't preach little sermons and then connects them together and they're different thoughts. It was all one sermon. It was all one thought process. So what he says before that is connected to this. And this is amazing. You don't have this, but just listen to me. Just listen to my voice. Verse 22, right before Jesus talks about serving God and serving mammon and how you can't serve two masters, this is what he says. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus right here is talking about perspective. He's talking about your vision. He's talking about how you perceive the world. Because you will either perceive the world from a flesh perspective or you will perceive the world from a godly perspective. You will either perceive the world through your ways or you will perceive the world through His ways. And it's in that perspective, in that light, God now talks about serving God and serving money. I'm going to stop right there, but I encourage you guys, read this and find out for yourselves. Seek for yourselves. Why does Jesus talk about perspective? Why does God talk about my vision, my viewpoint? Why does God talk about how I see the world? And then He talks about who I'm serving. And then He talks about why I should not worry. And then He talks about what I should seek. And He'll blow you away. It's not an accident why this is inspired. This is alive. Let it speak to you. Find the truths that God wants you to know and believe. So I gotta tell you, the more you just read this chapter, the more you read these sections of, you know, if you just ask God, "God, how is my perspective? How is what I look at? How is how I see the world? How does that affect who I serve? And because of who I serve, how does that affect what I worry about? And because of what I worry about, is that a result of what I'm seeking or what I want in life?" And you can just go on and on and on. We can go farther up and we can go farther down. And all of a sudden we get this picture of Christianity, of this relationship with God. And you're like, wow, God is so amazing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence, for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your word that is alive and that is powerful, God. I thank You, God, for Your truths today, Lord. That we can put our trust in You. That we can put our trust in You and faithfully serve You, God, and seek You first. So that we don't have to worry, because our confidence is not in riches, but our confidence is in You, Lord. I thank You, God, for people right now that are listening and they feel like they put too much of their confidence, or even a little bit of the confidence or the trust in the business they built, the job they have, the school they're going to, or the family they built or made. I thank You, God, that they withdraw that trust and place it completely on You, God. And they find the riches of Your glory, the riches of Your presence, the riches of Your wisdom, God, as they place their complete trust in You, God, and they say, "I need Jesus. I pray that we're not like the rich young ruler were when Jesus said, sell everything you have and follow me. That we don't get afraid, we don't get fearful when Jesus tells us to let go of things. But that we get excited, that we get to place more of our trust in God and follow him. That we stop looking at what we have and we start looking at who he is. And let that be the light of our eyes. Let that be our pursuit. First, the kingdom. And if there's anybody here, Lord, anybody who's here or anybody who's listening, right now, Lord, I thank you that as I'm speaking, God, that they're being healed in the name of Jesus. If that's you, if you have a pain or you have a headache or you have, whether it's emotional or physical, just put your hand on whatever the pain is or wherever you think the pain is. And we'll pray, Father, I thank you for healing through your presence, God. Healing through your promises, healing through your word, God. I thank you that every single person that has their hand on their hip or on their leg or wherever the pain is, they are healed right now in the name of Jesus. Anxiety and depression, Lord, I thank you that the truth of God will permeate, God, that your voice would be louder and your presence would be stronger, God, than any spirit there, Lord, as we cast those out and that they may be healed in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for people's hearts right now, Lord, that they would choose to trust you over everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Whew, amen.